that's this deep place that we're going into, that nothing else matters but fellowship with him. And of course, that's not embedded in us. That's not human. And even once we're born again, we're still not there. We've got a ways to go. We've got this thing where, yeah, we're saved and we belong to Christ, but we really are not where he wants us yet. And it is like traversing deeper waters. It's going out deeper. And the further we go out, the more that we lose our lives and the more we trust him. The further we go out, the more we lose trust in ourselves and trust in man, and we trust in him. So we have to be careful sometimes of what we say, but we really aren't there yet. You know what I mean? You say things, but you're not there yet. You quote things, but you're really not there yet. And so we get lulled into this sense that we are until the rubber meets the road, until, you know, the affliction comes and trial comes, and all of a sudden you're back right back up. And God has to wake us up to that. We have many things like that that's going on. It seems like I can't hear my... Is something going on with this? I'm having this really strain here to get out the sound, I think. So that's a little bit better. Yeah, thank you. So we want to be able to understand God's ways and keep traversing the higher waters in the spirit. This is kind of where PWM is, going out there a little bit further. You know, we sang the song some weeks back that we're going deeper, deeper still. He's calling us deeper and deeper still into his love. Is that the right words? And it's more than a song for me, and I think for us, it's where the Holy Spirit's taking us deeper, deeper still. I think that's why that particular Sunday, everything went high, because it's not only was it a song, it was the Lord's voice in his heart for us, that we go out deeper. And, you know, these rivers can get very, very deep, you know. These waters can get very, very deep, where they don't really make sense to the natural mind. But yet God starts to take away, Jesus starts to take away our natural props so that we would learn to walk out on him by faith. Because, you know, ultimately, everything else has got to fade away. And like the guy said in the quote, everything is going to get shaken. Everything's going to get shaken, but really what foundation we are on is going to be revealed. And, of course, in this quote, he said we can do all these things, philanthropy, we can help, we can do a lot of Christian-type works and things like that, but really what kind of foundation are we on? And so it's important then that we traverse the deeper waters and start to learn to live by faith. And understand how God not only wants to get us saved, but he also wants us to get out there in some deeper waters and start to quicken our understanding so that, as it says in Scripture, the just shall walk by faith. He'll not pull his hand back from that. He will always be doing that. And it can get so that it costs you something, right? I mean, it's more than just a confession. It's more than just going to church. It's more than these things. You start to lose your life so that you can find his. And, you know, Scripture points that out. So, like, really good. So we're getting into deeper and deeper waters, you know, and I'm trying to make sure we understand that, you know, we move out, and what we trusted in before will no longer be sufficient anymore. Right, we trusted in this, we trusted in that, we trusted in how much money we made, we trusted in our spouse, we trusted in the people around us. Not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, ultimately all of our trust has got to be in God, because he's our only sure foundation, and he's our only help. not only in the time of need, but he's our only help in life altogether. So he's constantly pulling us closer to himself. And he has a way to do this. And so, you know, so in the natural, we don't have anything in us that's spiritual at all, right? The natural and the spiritual never agree. So here's God having to impart to us a spiritual language, so to speak, so that we can start to walk with him and trust him little by little. You start off as a child, and more and more and more, you go out a little bit more, and he says, okay, I'm going to take that proper way. You trusted in that. I'm going to take it away. I saw this as I was reading this past week. The disciples, and Jesus made this hard saying to them, his disciples and all that were around him, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part of me. And the scripture says that many of them left him from that point. It was too hard of a saying. We don't understand it. My natural mind can't get it. And it doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm out, right? And, you know, God will get us to that point. And see, I think that's the point where Jesus said, okay, now I finally got some followers. He finally said, okay, they're going to follow me. During this difficult time, so now, see, now I've got, Jesus has no reputation. He's like a crazy man talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. And he's just not popular. So now I'm not following him for the food or the popularity or because he's, you know, he's not even because he's doing miracles. Now, hear the words they said. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life, right? No matter, I don't understand what you're saying. It's a strange enigma to me, but there's something about what's inside you that's attaching me to you. You have these words, and I really don't have any choice but to follow you on the inside of me because it's life on life. Now, look, it's not what you can give me, but it's about how deep our relationship and our union is. And I believe Jesus said, okay, that was deeper waters for them to get past the human side of things. When we talk about salvation, it's so much of it is about blessing, right? But you know, to follow him out, we're not gonna follow him for a blessing. We're gonna follow him for him. And that's difficult to get across to the natural mind and to the contemporary church world. Because, you know, blessing is everything, you know. You know, if I walk up to Raquel, I say, Raquel, how you doing? What's she going to say? Right. Not anymore. You know, it should be something like this, Sarah. I've decided to follow the Lord through thick and thin, whether I understand him or not, whether I'm blessed or not, whether I have things or don't have things, I love him with a passion that I can't describe. Right? The top. That's what she's going to say. Excuse me. Top, that's how it should be, right? That's what you're going to say. I got that from Raquel, by the way. I asked her, and she said, you know, how you doing? I'm just decided to follow him. And, you know, I've decided to take a stand. Derek, I decided to take a stand no matter what my family does, no matter what my friends do, no matter what my mom or dad or whoever, no matter if all I got is a dime. You understand? No matter all of I have is a dime. Because my relationship, who's here this morning? And all it is a piece of metal made out of made out of whatever. See, so these are deeper waters. See, these are deeper waters than just normal Christianity, just regular nominal stuff. These are deeper waters. And this is where God begins to test you. Do you think Jesus knew what was going to happen right there with the disciples? And it was sort of a test for them. They could have said, I'm going back. It's like John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? They put him in prison. And he started to see those are the deeper waters. He's starting to get like really bothered, you know. Look, he sent two guys and said, look, go to Jesus and ask him if he's the one. And then they came back and said, Jesus told them, you know, tell them that the blind see, you know, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and you know, what all the miracles that happened. And then he added this strange phrase at the bottom of that. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. That's not out of context. In other words, can you hear John the Baptist? Can you hear John the Baptist? Well, what about me? You healing the sick and you raising the dead and the blind are seeing and the deaf are hearing and, you know, and people are getting blessed. People are getting blessed. I'm in prison. What about me? See, that's what's in his voice. That's what's in those words. And then Jesus said, blessed is the one. Because even though others are, you know, experiencing this part here, I'm testing you to go out into some deeper waters. Don't go by what you see anymore. Don't go by the circumstances at all. Those out there, I have a whole nother thing going on with them. But for you, I have a higher calling. I'm sending you out on deeper waters, right? How many times have we felt that Jesus is not looking at us? How many times have we felt that where's the blessing? Could it be that he has a higher purpose for you, that we kind of got offended at it? Bernadine got a blessing. I want a blessing like Bernadine got. But see, Derek, he's taking you deeper, deeper still, where you can't lose your confidence, patience, faith and patience you inherit. See, we have many. It's almost like the Holy Spirit Knock is clothing us with a patience and a faith so that we can go out deeper and get more of his work done, right? So that people just won't get the first things, but they'll get the deeper things, that they'll get a genuineness about it all. So that quote that we read, that Chris read, won't apply to us. That we won't just do the superficial, that we'll go out deeper and deeper and deeper. Look, see, this is the good news, you know, that we're not just on the shore. It's one thing about blessing Howard, highly favored Mary. God said that there's a sword, something's going to pierce you, right? There's something you have to go through. Do you think it was fun for her to watch her baby you know, crucified up there. But yet she had to stay with the whole thing. And this is why I'm glad to be a part of. You know, when Glow and I got out the car, I could feel everybody. It was crazy. You know, I was having a rough morning. And here comes Carolyn, you know. Here comes Carolyn. And all of a sudden, everything lit up, you know. And James right behind her. James keeps following Carolyn. She's here comes Carolyn with the mink coat or whatever. I'm trying to say something spiritual starts to happen. Everything lit up, you know. He's taking us deeper. He's taking us deeper. But you see, we can't judge what he's doing to us by our circumstances. See, that's just, you know, you guys remember Robin and Rainey? They're like the culprits of don't waste your sorrow. Don't waste your trials, right? And all of us are sitting there, what happened to the good news? You know. But Shelley, you changed the house. Shelley, we didn't have the depth to receive it like we should, but we eventually did. You know, we didn't have the depth in here. All we had was the contemporary books that said, you know, grow and prosper and, you know, get ahead and God's going to bless you. We didn't have the depth to take the teachings of Christ. If he had said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, we would have been like that crowd. Because see, there's no popularity in that. But yet, he's grooming BJ to go out deeper on the spiritual waters, to walk more in the spirit, to walk more in revelation, to more walk more in a deeper trust. So that when the day of the shaking comes, BJ is like this in the spirit. See, he's on deeper waters. BJ, I like this lesson. Because we have the depth for it. D, let's read 2 Kings. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal, and Elisha said unto Elisha, stay here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I'll not leave you. Why is Elijah saying, stay? He's testing him. See, now, if Jesus tells you to stay, you say, well, he don't want me. You follow me? So you get offended. Blessed is he that's not offended in me. As soon as you say, you know, Derek, I can't use you. Okay, bless God, I ain't going there. Get a little feelings hurt. I'm just using your example. See, this is deeper water. It's a little harder child, isn't it? Can you handle that? See, remember the Syrophoenician woman? He said, remember, heal my baby, heal my daughter. Jesus answered not a word. Didn't answer a word. And she said, come on, do it. And then, you know, the bread is for the, you know, that's for the healing, it's the children's bread. So I'll just take the crumbs, you know what I'm say. I ain't shutting up. Here's Jesus denying her. How many of us got that in us now, right now? As soon as adverse circumstances come, we faint. And says, I am not letting this go because where else can I go? He's the only one that I can go to. What if it all went? He's still the only one that I can go to. See, we lose our confidence too quickly. And so here's the Lord's way. Here's Elijah using God's wisdom saying, if you really look, We like to prophesy double portions over people. Look, double portion will cost you something. Right? It's not just like, I'm going to drop a double portion on you, Glow. No, you're going to be tested all the way up to it. Right? And I'm going to give it to you, but I ain't going to give it to you unless I'm the only life you have. And I can take everything else away, but you still going to follow me, that I'm the only life you have. See? Where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. See? Robert, we can say that, but our self's got to get ripped out of here. But yet, Christian, there's a depth that God's developed in everybody here to be able to receive this. And look, count it all joy when the trials start to come. Because all that's doing is proving my faith that I'm not just a nominal believer, that no matter what comes, I'm still pressing in. Right? What's the first song y'all sung today? Moving forward. I will follow you. I will follow you where? Forward. See, that's just not a song. See, God, there's a meaning in there. It means I'll follow you forward no matter what comes. Right. And so here's Elijah, knowing God's ways. See, the human mind don't want to go this way. The human mind says, well, he don't want me. Bless God, I ain't going. I'm going to show him. I got to do other stuff. Low. Inside, James, we like, what happened to my blessing? And John the Baptist is like, what about me? I'm in prison. And Jesus said, blessed are you. Don't get offended. Don't get offended with me. Because I know how to bring you. Look, see, God drawing us is only by a little trinkets. You know, I'm going to draw you with this. I'm going to dangle this blessing in front of you. So I'm going to draw you, you know. You know, he's going to draw you a whole different kind of way. I'm going to draw you by seemingly denying you. I'm not denying you, but that's what it's going to seem like. See, that's what the widow with the unjust judge whole thing was, right? She just wouldn't stop. She said, avenge me of my adversary. She wouldn't stop, you know. Sometimes it seems like he's not there. Sometimes it seems like he shielded himself. You know, he is, but I don't feel him. I don't feel him. But you got to keep going. You know. So when they went down to Bethel, they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Lord would take thy away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Just hold your peace. I know it." See, we need that kind of confidence, don't we? Even though he said to me, "Stay here," I know where he's going, and I'm not going to stop. You know, don't you have to talk to me about it. And Elijah said unto him, "Elijah, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and my soul liveth, I'll not leave you." So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered and said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace, brother." Elijah said to him again, "Tarry, I pray you here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave you." And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. Is that it, D? And they were divided, hidden thither, so that the two went on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I take you away. And Elijah said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit. Yeah, yeah. So you can almost feel that double portion. But it's not cheap. Cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your confidence, you know. Cast not away your confidence, you know. This is just not an easy walk, you know. It's just not. You know, this whole heavenly life, you know, Hebrews says we're part of the heavenly calling, Hebrews 3, right? We're part of this heavenly calling. There's nothing heavenly inside of you. But yet, we have to start believing in the heavenly, and sometimes it doesn't look like anything heavenly is around us. The angels are there, but you can't see them. You know, the spirits are there, but you can't see them, right? Your circumstances don't look heavenly at all. Look like you're going to go under. And sometimes you want to look to Jesus and say, why don't you do something? Inside, you know I do. God, do something, do something. This whole thing about to go under. You know, and he's saying, don't get offended at me. Cheryl, the Bible's full of this kind of faith. Pastor Jerry, it's not nominal faith. The Bible's full of this kind of faith. You know, Moses had to go through this, you know, seeing him who's invisible. See? How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you see him who's invisible? It's just not going to be all the time you're seeing in this, you know. You got to still deal with the natural. Man, I'm reading this thing about, you know, when Lazarus died. Y'all remember that? When Lazarus died. Here's Jesus. What does he do? He waits. Wait a minute. He waited. He just waited. He just waited. See, God has planted into your heart the depths to be able to hear this today. See, because I know at the time I didn't want to hear that part. I read over that part. I just want to know when the tomb came open. And, you know, he waited because I love the scripture said, I love Lazarus. I love that family. So, and he wept and all that. He loved them. But the personal affection can't beat the faith and the going out in the distance. See, he loved them, but your growth on spiritual ground is deeper than me handing you up, you know, a temporary affection. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel God's heart for this house? I got to get him out in waters. Pass emotion, pass affection, until where only their faith rises to the occasion, and through patience, that's all worked out, right? So he waits. And you know those people, the scripture was saying this. He healed the sick. Why did he let Lazarus die? See? And marrying him. Why didn't he come here? Why did my brother have to die? Blessed is he that's not offended in me. Didn't I tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Right. Taba, will he find this kind of faith on the earth when he returns? Will he find that kind of faith on the earth? when he returns. That no matter what I'm going through, I won't get offended at him. No matter what circumstances I'm going through, I won't get offended. I'll never stop trusting him down to the dead end, down to death, and even after death, I still trust you. What did he say? What did he say about Lazarus when his disciples said, you know, Lazarus, you know, is gone? And they said, no, he's just sleeping. He's just sleeping. Can you trust me past death? See, when all the natural is gone, including death, can you still have faith in me? When all the natural, even death, is gone, can you still trust me? You know, we were at Derek's brother's, you know, they call it funeral. I call it sleeping service, you know, right? I said, y'all go on a journey with him, right? If he could talk to you right now, he would say, you come up here, right? In other words, get your faith past death. Get your faith past death. You know, Jesus said, you walk with me, I'm going to teach you. Look, James, sometimes it's going to be kind of hard. Sometimes it's going to be hard, right? You know, BJ and I had this conversation, you know. I remember in 2003, one company, and then they sold off my department and to a whole nother company just to contract back to them. It's the hardest thing in the world. They just do it. They don't set up a structure. They say, we don't know how this is going to operate. We're going to figure it out as we go, right? But, you know, somebody says we're going to do it. And this date, he said, we're like, we're not ready. We don't care. And all you are is a pawn in a game. And I was right in the middle of that thing. I was right in the middle of it. Right in the leadership in the middle. And I remember when they said, you're not good enough. And I'm like, it was the worst time of my life. But yet, God has a purpose for hard things. And they seem so hard, so devastating. They rip you apart. I know how that feels. It rips you apart. But yet, somehow, you got to still follow him. I'm not talking about nominally. I'm not talking about still going to church. I'm talking about you still inside of him. You know, I could have said, God, why you let me go through this? He's just trying to get you on deeper waters, you know. I have more experiences. I mean, I have more things like that I could tell. Because you got to learn how to trust in the difficult times. Look, not trust that he's going to get you out. Not trust that he's going to give you something. But just trust you're going to go deeper with him. See, you understand? Really, it's not that you're going to get anything. It's going you're going to lose something. See? Look at how many times Elijah had to tell Elisha, stay right here. Right? It's, you know, isn't there a point in that? See, you know, Elisha could have gone on back and got on his, on you know, plowing the field. You know what? I'm okay over here. But something, he wanted something spiritual that he knew he couldn't get except from the Lord himself and following the man of God. And that meant nothing else mattered but that. It's like Elisha said, where else am I going to go? This is the only path for me now. So, you know, God's ways are just not like ours. And he knows how to draw us, you know, consider it all joy when you go through these things. He knows how to draw us through that. And that sort of, I like to use the phrase, that makes a man out of you, you know. You know, it takes self out. And what the Lord is really doing is saying, I have higher purposes for you, but until that can be flattened inside you, until that's proved that you love me. And when he said, if you love me, obey my commandments, he's not talking about, okay, if I say go to the store, you go. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, if somebody hits you in the face, let me take care of it. You know, in other words, obey me even during the difficulties, in spite of difficulties. And see, that's not in human nature. Human nature says, okay, I'm going to blame Cheryl. You know, I didn't really do that. I'm going to blame Cheryl. Human nature always wants to put it on somebody else. And here's God putting you in circumstances that you have to own up to and say, I can't do it. I messed up. You know, I'm going to obey because I love you, not because I'm getting anything out of this thing. Rob, don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste your trial. You know, there's a scripture in I think it's 1st or 2nd Peter. Is it 2nd Peter D? Look at this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, and whom now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Somebody said, I thought I was already saved. Nah. Just kind of barely getting in by the skin of your teeth. But that full salvation is getting out on that water. The testing and proving. You know, God knows every person that's in your life. And how they are. And he's like, okay, how are you going to handle that? You know, God, why'd you send me Mike? He's ornery, whatever. Well, how are you going to handle it? There's not one person in our lives that God doesn't know about. Not one. Not one. Not one. He knows that they're ornery. He knows the condition. He knows attitude. He knows, you know. Maybe he knows how selfish they are. And maybe so you can look at them and say how selfish you are. Sometimes we look at them and say they're selfish. And God said, well, that was your mirror I sent you. Because he's got to find a way to get us, you know. So, Pastor Mike, we're on this proof ground. What do they call it? The proving ground? What is the proving ground? We're on the proving ground. Pastor Jerry, salvation has been much too easy for us. He's got disciples here. He's got disciples here. There's got to be some songs about this. You know, I'd rather have Jesus, right, than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in the natural world. I'd rather have him. where I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And again, those words carry with it the adversity and afflictions and whatever else may come. All the disagreements. You know, if it was up to me, I would prove the people that God put in my life. If it was up to me, I would, you know, figure, I would tell God, okay, put it like this, make it like this, give me this, make it sure it's like that, you know. I'm going to still follow you, but make sure it's like that. But I think you know something in me needs the adversity. There's something in me that needs the adversity. There's something in you that says, that's got to say, I'm not going to stop no matter how it looks. I'm not going to stop believing no matter how it looks and no matter how long it takes. Right? Look what he said about the widow with the unjust judge. Though she cried to him day and night. This is our overcoming. This is the breed that God's looking for, that overcome. And it would say Revelation, they love not their lives even unto the death. They was just kept moving forward despite of what's happening. I sense that PWM is going out on deeper waters. We can't let that scare us away. But we can't be fooled by it either, as if that means things are going to get easier. It's the last thing it means. Amen. Okay. I want to take comments from anybody if you want to share anything there. Because I think other people have something on this. Yes. Don't sit. That's a good point. That's a good point. That's good. Believed until. That's real good. That's real good. Okay, so what she's saying is that the older generation, or even now, priests or whoever may say, I believed until he took my husband away or my wife away. I believed until this or that. And so people won't believe past their circumstances. They won't believe past, we blamed it on God instead of, we got offended at him.
Glory to God. One of the things that I heard when Pastor was ministering this is, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That's what part of that is. Rejoice in it because it propels you to reach that status. Don't be grudging about it. Receive it in joy, knowing that it's going to take you and push you closer to the God of our salvation. And glory to God. Well, glory to God. It was there, but what I'm leading to is, the reason why, you know, the question is, why did he follow him that way? Was it because he split the waters, or because of his walk? He followed him because of his walk. Mm-hmm. He stayed with him. He saw the walk. Mm-hmm. I said that to say that with everything that happened with my brother and everything, the purpose of my life being here in Richmond, the salvation, the plumb line of salvation, glory to God. Mm-hmm. Don't you know that my family called me yesterday and they said that they were coming. They said it was coming regardless. They said, we're coming to visit you. We're coming to see you. It's because of the plumb line of salvation. Mm-hmm. They don't know or realize why they're coming. Mm-hmm. But spiritually, it's not because of me. It's because of him. Mm-hmm. And they're coming. They said that they was coming here, Pastor. Mm-hmm. And I praise God for that. Mm-hmm. I thank God for that. Amen. Because they're not following me. They're following the Christ that's in me. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to bless you. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Somebody else has something. Please don't hesitate. Come on. Oh, Shelly, coming.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Today is a press day for me. Hallelujah. Thank you. But I love him just the same. I'm learning to love him more and more. My dad used to say, you can love someone when you get to know them. He said, the more you get to know them, the more you can love them. He said, because you know their ways, you know their temperament. And the same thing goes for Jesus. The more we get to know him, the more we can love him. Anyway, I just wanted to share this with you guys. And I need you to be in agreement with me for money. I'm going to get there. My doctor asked me to come in, and he said, bring Derek with you. And thankfully, he was already off work because of his brother's passing. And normally when he asks both of us to come in, it's some not so good news. but this time, let me go back just a little bit. You all remember when I had the dream about the blood lilies a few years ago. But then I had a second dream last year about the blood lilies. And in the dream, in the garden, the angel that watched over and protected the garden gave me a message from the Lord and said I could take home 12 lilies. And my directions were to eat one lily a month. And it was going to begin to change my DNA. Well, when I got to see my doctor Thursday, and he was on the phone when we first got there, and I was kind of anxious. And he turned around and he said, I didn't call you in for a checkup or an appointment. He said, but I got some good news for you. He said, you have been chosen for a new medication. He said, and what this medication does, he said, it gets inside the blood cell and it fights the disease. How the blood sickles is, the disease pops the cells open. And that's how they begin to sickle. But this medication will get inside the blood cell and fight that disease and keep the cells from popping. Now, here's the miracle. My doctor said, your blood count will go up 1 point each month. He said, and by the 12th month, your hemoglobin will be normal. Now, here's where I need you all to be in agreement with me. I feel y'all prayers. Every time I'm in that hospital, I don't lose connection because I know you guys are praying for me. And I love and I thank God for you for that. And I love and I thank God for being in this house. There's no house like this house. There's no apostle like our apostle and our pastors. My doctor said, I need you to get these papers back to me right away. He said, because I have to go before your insurance company to get them to pay for it. Because the drug is kind of expensive. So that's where I need you all to continue to pray with me that my insurance agreed to pay for this. So I can start on this medication right away. And here's the most beautiful part in it. I take 8 different medications a day. Not including how many pain pills I take. But when I began to take this medication, I would only have to take 1 pill a day. Mm. Mm. Mm.
So why? So you got to put all this together. Miracles come on a faith that's out in the water. Miracles don't come with just believing primarily. It's as we get out deeper, that's when we're going to find the miracles. Come on, Shanique. Watch what I say.
So I want to share this vision I just had. Well, I had when I came in. And what Shelly shared about her, and everything is just ideal and in detail and strategic. So when I came in this morning and I sat there, and I noticed everybody has experienced something this week, because I'm not feeling well, and I heard you weren't feeling well. But God did, everything has been done in a way that I am in awe. Anyway, this morning when I came in, Chris said a word about changing something about self. And then I saw, I don't know, maybe in a sci-fi movie where a spirit came out of our bodies. And everybody stepped into like an overall and zipped all the way up to their face. But the overall was not white. You know how whenever we see things and it's heavenly, it's white colored or whatever. It was yellow and muddy. And it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, that is Him and it's not easy. And He was even saying to me, this is not an easy road. And you talk about being, it's not an easy road. Because the color of the overall was yellow and it has mud on it. Like, it's like old mud, but we're still wearing it, per se. But it's a good thing, in a way, because we tend to think that being in the Spirit and being followers of Christ is going to be an easy walk somehow. But it's like God is saying, this is not easy. You know, you're putting on a different attire. And I could sense that I wasn't there no more. It was only the clothes I'm wearing. But it was yellow and I have a lot of mud. And He was like, this is that way. This is my way. You know, not your way no more. And Shelly came up and said that it's like God is doing something different. I don't know how to explain it per se. But it's like we are wearing a different attire now. It's like our whole old self, you know, has dissolved somehow. We step into a new attire this morning.
Amen. 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 Beautiful. 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 Jesus, you make the heartless tremble.
I just wanted to go back to the deeper waters of the whole message. So when you were sitting there and you were saying about Elijah, he asked for, Elijah asked for a double portion. Elijah asked for a double portion of Elijah. And I was thinking, well, why was he asking for a double portion? But the double portion wasn't for things. But you remember Elijah went through a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when Elijah asked for the double portion, it was he was asking for like greater powers to go into the deeper water. Because if you keep reading, he had to do more work and more work. So it was to do a more power to do the work that the Lord would have for him. So when we're asking for more portion, more of God, it's not for things or anything, but to go into those deeper waters and to have the ability to do the work of the Lord.
Very good. Very good. It wasn't to heap upon the lust of his own flesh. Now everything is now for the Lord's glory. And I'll go out and do whatever. I'll suffer whatever now for the Lord's glory. That's a complete transformation. I'll do whatever for the Lord's glory. I'll do whatever for the Lord's glory. Who else? Crystal, are you sitting on anything? You know I always got to look at you. Dre, Carolyn and Dre. Anybody, please. This is family time. You know, so the whole structure of what God's doing is changing. You know, so you get to the point where suffering and trials and things become a privilege to go out on deeper water for His glory. You know, so
Pastor, in the last couple of months, I've shared with you several times about the water. Mm-hmm. And in the day, the water is deep. Mm-hmm. But the water that I still feel with Jesus is still walking on the water. Mm-hmm. But in the last dream with Him walking on that beautiful water, this whole church got out of the boat. Mm. You were preaching, and a woman came on the pulpit, and she said, I'm going to be 2 inches up. Who want to join me? And so the woman said, I'm going to start with you, the pastor. And you said, well, okay, anybody else? And so I wanted to try this water because, like I said, I keep having this dream about Jesus walking on the water. So in my experience of trials and tribulations and past, He is still walking with me. And when I step out that water and walking, I am still high. Now, in the last 3 weeks, all this testimony in this church,
yeah.
I feel the Spirit because
yeah.
we are all now yeah. stepping out of the boat. Mm-hmm. We're all taking our journey.
Right.
Jesus said, come to me. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Don't sink. Don't look down. And
That's
your
good.
Pastoring with us is telling us, today mm-hmm. I got this. Last Sunday, mm-hmm. it was the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. that walked around here. Mm-hmm. I saw the Spirit of the Spirit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then God said, what are you looking at? I'm looking at you. Because you had got so deep in it. Mm-hmm. And when you came back toward me and put your hands on me, the Holy Spirit said, got you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Good.
That's excellent. So, as she was talking, you know, look at the, you know, this is an apostolic ministry, and look at the apostle, you know, he's going and suffering whatever for this glory in the deeper waters for this glory. Even that he was how many ever days in the deep?
Just listening to Shanique sharing about the suit and the mud and everything being on there, and hearing Miss Lorraine talking about the double portion, that what I was seeing when they were talking about that was those, you know, in the faith, PWM and people going to that death, carrying the cross, like weighed down by the cross, treading through the mud, but joyfully, you know, going through the suffering, but joyfully, and He's given us the grace and the capacity to push through the trust in the mud for, you know, for the glory of His kingdom. To it's worth it to not only get closer to Him, not only to enjoy that eternal life on earth now, but to kind of what Miss Carolyn was talking about was somebody was up, you know, up on the stage or up on the block, and as true ministry of saying, pulling people up, saying, come experience this eternal life with me now on this earth. You know, true ministry.
Great day. It's my son. It's my son.
After today's message, I see the scripture, iron sharpens iron. a whole lot different. So it's the adversity sharpens our faith. And you know, from when you go from glory to glory to glory to glory, you know that the next glory is going to be a little bit more tough than the last glory. You're going to encounter something a little bit more tougher, a little bit more sharper, because it's sharpening your faith and making you just a little bit more equipped for the next time.
Great day. To the point. This is how this is all turning around. See? Well said, Dre, Chris. To the point that your adversities will be almost like your food. You feed off of them. In other words, they're going to make you stronger. And that what he said about Joshua and Caleb, you know. Your enemies, your adversity is going to be like food to you. That was okay? And I thought about something with the worship. You know, Mary, once they went through Lazarus dying and seeing the glory of God, the next chapter, 12th chapter, this is when now she's putting the ointment on his feet. And, you know, in other words, you know what, we worship truly once we go past, you know, the natural side of things and we get into a faith that's past human understanding. And then we can worship in the spirit like that. We can worship Jesus at his feet. God's changing our minds. You know, the miracle here is coming out of the way we believe. I'm trying to tell y'all that. It's just no coincidence that we're talking about believing and having faith in a higher place and her coming up today and saying something's happening that's radical. And this is, watch that continue to be upon us. And then we're going to really have to count it all joy when we fall into difficulties. You understand? We're going to have to really fall on count. You got difficulties in your life. God, I count them all joy. I'll eat on those because they're just making me stronger. It's not human thinking. It's resurrection thinking. It's glorifying Jesus thinking and not about your situation. It's a different type. And so, you know, Rainey, we had to keep cutting it and cutting it and cutting it until we get renewed with it. And Lord, if it's for your glory, take away everything I got. If it's for your glory, praise God. Who else? We're here. Come on. Come on. So God's planting it deep inside of us, Derek. He's planting it deep inside of us.
So when Shanique was up here and she was describing the body or the jumpsuit that was covered with mud and it was a yellowish color, I felt as though we had stepped into that jumpsuit, which was zipped all the way up. We stepped into it to get the fullness of what God's going to do to us. And then I kept closing my eyes because I kept seeing a corpse. And I said, God, why do you connect that with the jumpsuit? And he said, because once you die, fully die, then you'll get the fullness. See, death is going to come through all of the hardships of what you're bearing. If you allow him to use that to kill you off, and then we'll have the fullness of Jesus.
Always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord. I want to know him and the power of his death and then the power of his resurrection. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. You make unbelief tremble. Always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord, that the life of the Lord can be manifest. Finally getting to the gospel here. Anybody else? Very. It's like it's a part of us. It's like it's a part of us. It's like it's a part of us. It's like, you know, you keep believing and just never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up, never stop believing. And we still can't stop believing. Even in the midst, even in with death looming, we're still believing.
Many years ago, maybe 5 or 6, Pastor Jerry said, and it wasn't Mom, it was Pastor Jerry, said she was crazy enough to believe that your DNA would change. And I just think that we in this house, as we connect, you know, things are going to be said that may throw us off, but it's going to be by the Spirit. So to hear you saying, I don't care about the medicine, I don't care about the insurance, I don't care, it's, you know, when you're natural, I don't care. I just believe that your DNA is going to be changed. I believe that whatever death you have to experience, you're going to experience. I believe no matter what, because when you describe the blood lily, I've never seen a blood lily. So you do a wonderful job articulating the dreams. And I saw purples and red. I've never seen. Okay, so I just see something really voluminous and like a bulb. And just as you know, when you first said, it's like, can she, you know, what is it going to taste like? Is she going to strangle at it? Is she going to be comfortable at it? But just by the Spirit, as you do what you've been commanded to do, your DNA is changing. Your DNA will be changed. It's amazing to see how that sickled cell is going to pop. And it's going to be full. It's going to be whole. Corpuscles, white blood count, red blood count, mitochondria? The mitochondria, he's getting all the way down to the mitochondria of your cells. And I thank God for Mama and Dion when I think it was like 5 or 6 years when they said, we believe God is going to change your DNA. Love you.
Good day. I don't know what to say about you people. Bless you. You know, everything changes from the day, right? I mean, the whole line is different now. You know, it's all for his glory. Yes, come. Please.
Just really quickly, I just feel led to pray for the doctors that are going to have to provide the CPT codes, the billing codes, and then for the insurance companies that's going to have to make the decision. So, Lord, I thank you right now that you touch the hearts of the insurance companies, those that will be reviewing her records, Lord God, that they will see a person and God's glory on her life and not dollar bills, Lord God. We thank you that she's a life and she's the life. You have given her the life. So, Lord God, I ask right now that you touch the hearts of the king, Lord God. Give her favor, Lord God, favor from on high, that every dime would be covered. In Jesus' name, amen.
I feel like singing a song. Faith is rising. All right, everybody clear? I'm not quite. Something else going on here.
I thought she was going to touch on the financial aspect of what she started off saying. What's happening is, even in the sickle cell research, they don't get as much donation. You can imagine it only affect a certain amount of people.
Right, certain culture.
So we're praying for more donation for sickle cell research.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm just, after y'all described the blood lily, I can't help but think of the purple and the red. The purple being Jesus, the royalty, purple. And the blood, of course, is red. And you're eating one each month. And many times, just like the praying of the DNA change, I've prayed, Lord, replace her blood with your blood. I've prayed that many times. And if you're eating his blood and the purple, he's replacing your blood with his blood. Amen. Amen.
So we keep getting light on this stuff, right? We keep getting revelation light on it little by little. We keep staying with it until we're out there. These faith waters, these living waters. And it's the only thing we know after a while. Amen. Mom, you good? Okay, Pastor Mike, you can close prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, do we dare to travail with you in your sufferings? We thank you, oh God, for the opportunity to now to realize that you are orchestrating and leading us to deeper waters. Not only to walk on water, but walk in water. Father, we thank you for the miracles that's taking place. And it's happening based upon your will and not our desire. Not our way, how we thought this was going to happen with Shelley, but God, you're doing something totally different. That's what you've been doing this whole year. You've just been doing whatever you want to do in this house. God, and we thank you for it. Now you're even changing our mindset, oh God, what's really suffering and going through really means. Father, we glorify your name, God. We honor your name. We honor you, God. We honor you. You deserve all the glory. God, we love you today. PWM bow before you. Burn up all of that, God, that we become bones. Help us to understand, oh God, as we put on this jumpsuit, oh God, that we understand, oh God, that you have to zip it up. When we have to walk through each aisle, oh God, and say, excuse me, because I have to go through something, God, let us do it by the glory for your glorification in the earth today, God. And God, you still didn't leave us alone, God. You still gave us one another. Like Pastor said, when he came in, he just drew strength from each other, God. Why? Because we assembled ourselves together. God, you just got this thing all figured out. Oh, God, we glorify your name today. And let all the earth glorify you today, God. That we become Elisha today. I would not stay here and wait. Let us be like the disciples of God when they said, oh, where else can we go? Put that inside of our hearts today, God. We have nowhere to go. But the life that's in you, let it become more real to us, oh God. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.